Chapter 91. Perplexity. She beckoned the Jew towards her, as she reached down the shrub bottle from its niche, and whispered. Child, or woman? Child in ears, was the answer. Woman in self-reliance and trial. You are talking about me, good people, thought Miss Jenny, sitting in her golden bower, warming her feet. I can't hear what you say, but I know your tricks and your manners. The shrub, when tasted from a spoon, perfectly harmonizing with Miss Jenny's palate, a judicious amount was mixed by Miss Poederson's skillful hands, whereof Riot who partook. After this preliminary, Miss Abby read the document, and, as often as she raised her eyebrows in so doing, the watchful Miss Jenny accompanied the action with an expressive and emphatic sip of the shrub and water. As far as this goes, said Miss Abby Poederson, when she had read it several times, and thought about it, it proves what didn't much need proving, that Rogue Rider Hood is a villain. I have my doubts, whether he is not the villain who solely did the deed, but I have no expectation of those doubts ever being cleared up now. I believe I did Lizzie's father wrong, but never Lizzie's self, because when things were at the worst I trusted her, had perfect confidence in her, and tried to persuade her to come to me for a refuge. I am very sorry to have done a man wrong, particularly when it can't be undone. Be kind enough to let Lizzie know what I say, not forgetting that, if she will come to the Porters, after all, bygones being bygones, she will find a home at the Porters, and a friend at the Porters. She knows Miss Abby of old, remind her, and she knows what like the home, and what like the friend, is likely to turn out. I am generally short, and sweeter short and sour, according as it may be, and as opinions vary remarked Miss Abby, and that's about all I have got to say, and enough to. But before the shrub and water was sipped out, Miss Abby bethought herself that she would like to keep a copy of the paper by her. It's not long, sir, said she to Raya, and perhaps you wouldn't mind just jotting it down. The old man willingly put on his spectacles, and, standing at the little desk in the corner, where Miss Abby filed her receipts, and kept her sample files, customer scores were interdicted by the strict administration of the Porters, wrote out the copy in a fair round character. As he stood there, doing his methodical penmanship, his ancient scribe-like figure intent upon the work, and the little doll's dressmaker sitting in her golden bower before the fire, Miss Abby had her doubts, whether she had not dreamed those two rare figures into the bar of the Six Jolly Fellowships, and might not wake with a nod next moment, and find them gone. Miss Abby had twice made the experiment of shutting her eyes and opening them again, still finding the figures there, when, dreamlike, a confused hubbub arose in the public room. As she started up, and they all three looked at one another, it became a noise of clamoring voices, and of the stir of feet. Then all the windows were heard to be hastily thrown up, and shouts and cries came floating into the house from the river. A moment more, and Bob Glittery came clattering along the passage, with the noise of all the nails in his boots condensed into every separate nail. What is it? Asked Miss Abby. It's summit run down in the fog, ma'am, answered Bob. There's ever so many people in the river. Tell 'em to put on all the kettles. Cried Miss Abby. See that the boiler's full. Get a bath out. Hang some blankets to the fire. Heat some stone bottles. Have your senses about you, you girls downstairs, and use 'em. While Miss Abby partly delivered these directions to Bob, whom she seized by the hair, and whose head she knocked against the wall, as a general injunction to vigilance and presence of mind, and partly hailed the kitchen with them, the company in the public room, jostling one another, rushed out to the causeway, and the outer noise increased. Come and look, said Miss Abby to her visitors. They all three hurried to the vacated public room, and passed by one of the windows into the wooden veranda overhanging the river. Does anybody down there know what has happened? ? Demanded Miss Abby, in her voice of authority. It's a steamer, Miss Abby, ? Cried one blurred figure in the fog. It always is a steamer, Miss Abby, ? Cried another. Them's her lights, Miss Abby, what do you see a blinking yonder, ? Cried another. She's a blowing off her steam, Miss Abby, and that's what makes the fog and the noise worse, don't you see? ? Explained another. Boats were putting off, torches were lighting up, people were rushing tumultuously to the water's edge. Some man fell in with a splash, and was pulled out again with a roar of laughter. The drags were called for. A cry for the life buoy passed from mouth to mouth. It was impossible to make out what was going on upon the river, for every boat that put off sculled into the fog, and was lost to view at a boat's length. Nothing was clear, but that the unpopular steamer was assailed with reproaches on all sides. She was the murderer, bound for Gallows Bay. She was the manslaughterer, bound for penal settlement. Her captain ought to be tried for his life. Her crew ran down men in rowboats with a relish. She mashed up Thames lightermen with her paddles. She fired property with her funnels. She always was, and she always would be, wreaking destruction upon somebody or something, after the manner of all her kind. The whole bulk of the fog teemed with such taunts, uttered in tones of universal hoarseness. All the while, the steamer's lights moved spectrally a very little, as she lay to, waiting the upshot of whatever accident had happened. Now, she began burning blue lights. These made a luminous patch about her, as if she had set the fog on fire, and in the patch the cries changing their note, and becoming more fitful and more excited, shadows of men and boats could be seen moving, while voices shouted. There! ? There again! ? A couple more strokes ahead! ? Hurrah! ? Look out! Hold on! Haul in! And the like! Lastly, with a few tumbling clots of blue fire, the night closed in dark again, the wheels of the steamer were heard revolving, and her lights glided smoothly away in the direction of the sea. It appeared to Miss Abby and her two companions that a considerable time had been thus occupied. There was now as eager a set towards the shore beneath the house as there had been from it, and it was only on the first boat of the rush coming in that it was known what had occurred. If that's Tom Tootle, ? Miss Abby made proclamation, in her most commanding tones, let him instantly come underneath here. ? The submissive Tom complied, attended by a crowd. What is it, Tootle? ? Demanded Miss Abby. It's a foreign steamer, miss, run down a wherry. ? How many in the wherry? ? One man, Miss Abby. ? Found? ? Yes. He's been underwater a long time, miss, but they've grappled up the body. ? Let 'em bring it here. You, Bob Glittery, shut the house door and stand by it on the inside, and don't you open till I tell you. Any police down there? ? Here, Miss Abby, ? Was official rejoinder. After they have brought the body in, keep the crowd out, will you? And help Bob Glittery to shut him out. ? All right, Miss Abby. ? The autocratic landlady withdrew into the house with Raya and Miss Jenny, and disposed those forces, one on either side of her, within the half door of the bar, as behind a breastwork. You two stand close here, ? Said Miss Abby, and you'll come to no hurt, and see it brought in. Bob, you stand by the door. ? That sentinel, smartly giving his rolled shirt sleeves an extra, and a final tuck on his shoulders, obeyed. Sound of advancing voices, sound of advancing steps. Shuffle and talk without. Momentary pause. Two peculiarly blunt knocks or pokes at the door, as if the dead man arriving on his back were striking at it with the soles of his motionless feet. That's the stretcher, or the shutter, whichever of the two they are carrying, ? Said Miss Abby, with experienced ear. Open, you Bob. apostrophe, door opened. Heavy tread of laden men. A halt. A rush. Stoppage of rush. Door shut. Baffled boots from the vexed souls of disappointed outsiders. Come on, men. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Miss Abby, for so potent was she with her subjects, that even then the bearers awaited her permission. First floor. Apostrophe, the entry being low, and the staircase being low, they so took up the burden they had set down, as to carry that low. The recumbent figure, in passing, lay hardly as high as the half door. Miss Abby started back at sight of it. Why, good God! Apostrophe, said she, turning to her two companions, that's the very man who made the declaration we have just had in our hands. That's Riderhood. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.